Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
So when you are in a dark situation, never doubt while you're in that darkness what God has promised you in the light.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about dealing with depression in a message recorded in 2009. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org. bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, dealing with discouragement.
Turn to Psalm 42. I want to look at two psalms tonight in a quick way on the topic of dealing with discouragement. We are doing our in-service, and the challenge and the theme for the year is addressing making a difference. And I think we all need to be made aware of the fact that when you determine to make a difference, you enter warfare. People who are not in warfare rarely have anything that will broadside them because they're already in Satan's court. Self-centered, self-serving people rarely experience that which would cause great discouragement. But when you determine that you are going to be one who makes a difference, and that you indeed will die to yourself to be alive for the glory of God, there will come times when you need reminders of how do you deal with discouragement. There are times I am quite amazed at what comes out. People attend church regularly, they participate regularly, but they're seething with anger against God. And it is not evident until certain circumstances show themselves. And these things begin to come out. And maybe one of the sessions I may do one session just on the topic of anger and bitterness. Because people are coming, they appear to have everything in order, everything is right, all things seem well. But yet something is churning, something is going on, and they don't know how do you transfer that load to the Lord, and how does that come? And we look at Psalm 42 and dealing with Korah. So many of the Psalms are Davidic, but this is Korah. You remember the Kohathites and Korah who became disloyal and bolted. Well, this obviously is probably from the sons of Korah who turned to praise. They were spared the judgment. And I think they learned out of gratitude and turned to praise for how they were going to live. So how do we deal with this element of discouragement? So Psalm 42, how do we deal with discouragement as we learn from the scriptures here? First of all, we stop looking at ourselves and we start looking at God. That is step number one, and I think that is a lesson that we must have for life. There are three selfish causes that would cause us to be self-focused. Number one, my plans are not fulfilled. In other words, there is a deferred hope. I have a plan. That plan is not coming to pass. As we look here in verse 1 of Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He is going back in his memory when he would be able to go into the house of God, into that place of praise. And his plan to be in that place of worship and that place of praise was not being fulfilled. And he said, when shall I come and appear before my God? This was an absent thing. in the life, the plan's not fulfilled, there is a deferred hope. And oftentimes you have a set plan in your mind and you have an expectation about a certain thing, and that does not come to pass, and you have getting memories here, this reference here of the Jerusalem feast that were taking place, and these were not happening. And there was this inner cry, the soul panting after God. And that is a good study in itself. What creates a deep thirst in our souls? When is the last time in your life you were so thirsty for God that nothing else mattered except knowing Him and getting to know Him in a more intimate way? That which caused you to go before God and you could not have words to express. All you could say is, "Oh God." And praise the Lord, according to Romans 8, the Spirit of God takes that "Oh God" cry and the groans and interprets that through Jesus Christ to the Father as a perfect petition on our behalf. And there may be a time in your life that has not yet happened when there is going to come a thirst and nothing else matters in your life except knowing Him in a more intimate way. Number two, your feelings are not relieved. He said, "My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" These feelings that are not relieved. And number three, my questions are not answered. When they say, "Where is thy God?" You see that there in verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" And that question that comes, and seemingly unanswered questions. "I will say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" in verse 9. So the cry of this heart is saying, "God, where are you? Why am I going through this situation?" You know, there comes a time, does it not come a time, when we just have to let God be God? And when we get an exalted view of our God and we realize nothing is out of the control of God, and God will be glorified in every situation, He will be glorified in every circumstance, no matter how dark it may seem at that time, God will be glorified in these things. But yet, we are questioning. These questions are not answered. And that song, "You alone are my soul's desire." And as we go through life, and I think it's easier as we get older to have that cry and to have that passion in our hearts that He might be our all in all. So we need to stop looking at ourselves and start looking at God. Number two, we need to stop looking at the past and start looking at the future. When you look at this psalmist here, he is going through a review of the past. And when the present is grim, we have a tendency to go fetal and bask in past memories. We bask in that which is pleasant in the past. We have to stop looking to the past and start looking to the future. Verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." He was going back and thinking, "Oh God, when it was this way, and I remember going with the multitudes, I remember going to the house of God, and the plan that I have now to be there is not being fulfilled. The feelings I have are not being relieved. The questions that I have are not being answered. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" Looking at the past instead of looking to the future What gives us hope? Number one, God promises deliverance. Look in verse 1 of chapter 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful an unjust man. What gives us hope? We have hope from the fact that God promises deliverance. This too shall pass. David prayed, deliver my soul from this prison that I might rejoice in thee. You may be going through something now in your life. You may be going through some heartbreaking experience, some loss of a loved one, some health issue that you just had gotten a word that you have. You think, is this ever going to end? But there was deliverance. 430 years of bondage the people of God experienced. God promised deliverance. Number two, we get hope because God promises strength. In verse 2, thou art my God of my strength. The El Shaddai, the mighty one, the one who would come and give ability. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Where is my confidence? I can do, that's a fact of our confidence. All things, that's a fullness of our confidence. What is it that God has for you? There is a fullness of confidence. Maybe that all thing for you is just facing something that is so overwhelming in your mind, you don't know how you're going to do that. I can do, that's a fact. All things, that's a fullness. Through Christ, that's your focus. He is my life. He is the one who is the enabler. He is the one. That's why Paul cried that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being then made conformable unto his death. And the ultimate goal is that conformity to Christ and the flow of the fruit of the Spirit from our lives, which strengtheneth me. That's the force of our confidence. And study Philippians 4:13, and I would challenge you for about a week to meditate on that verse, each phrase of that verse, and then focus on which strengtheneth me and find the dynamite that is in that verse that gives you the enabling. And Paul's testimony in that aspect in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he cries out of absolute weakness while he is declaring absolute ability through Christ. And he boasted in his infirmities, and he boasted in his ignominy, even rejection by those who accepted Christ through his message, who had now rejected him. And Paul says, I will spend and be spent for you, knowing the more I love you, the less I will be loved. Paul said, I'll give you my things and I'll give you myself, knowing the more I do this for you, the less I'm going to be loved by you. What gave him that enabling? It was a dynamite that was within him. And when you look in the cry that Paul says, and Paul asked God three times specifically to remove this thorn in the flesh from him. And God answered him in 2 Corinthians 12, as I said before, so I say again. That's really the essence of that phrase. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength. There's that word. Same word in Philippians 4:13, which strengtheneth me. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And when you realize that you run out of your strength, the strength of God is going to be magnified as your personal strength declines. His dynamite within you goes on the incline. And what a hope and what a confidence that is for you. He is my strength. Thirdly, what gives us hope is God gives direction. Look in verse 3 of chapter 43. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to the holy hill and to the tabernacle. And if we don't make that, we end up making wrong decisions. We make wrong decisions in the dark. And it's easy to go the wrong way in the dark. God gives direction. You say, God, give me your will. Show me your will about a matter. And then number 4, God promises satisfaction in verse 3. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the altar, upon the harp, will I praise thee, O my God. And what he was doing, from deliverance to strength to direction to ultimate satisfaction, the total rejoicing. Practice this principle of praise. You say, boy, I get discouraged. Do praise therapy. You don't need a psychological workup. You need praise therapy. Thanksgiving. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's praise therapy. That's thanksgiving therapy. And if you don't let the thanksgiving of God for his grace and for his goodness overtake you, you will be so self-focused, you will always be a manipulator, but you'll never be a rejoicer. And then number 3, stop searching for reasons and start resting on promises. What causes discouragement? We're looking for reasons when we need to be resting on promises. And you put away the whys and claim the promises of God. Let me just ask you quickly, what attribute of God in the last 7 days has been an anchor point for you? Just call one out. What attribute of God in the last 7 days has been an anchor point for you, and that was a promise you claimed because of that characteristic of God? God is absolutely in control. And I just read last week where God was used the Assyrians to bring judgment on his people. And the Assyrians were boasting because of what they were doing and boasting against God. And God said, don't let the axe boast against the axemen. In other words, you're the axe, but I'm swinging the axe. But you will get it too. And God will use very unusual ways to bring judgment where judgment is needed. He will get the glory, but he is in control. And that aspect of sovereignty is such a comfort that God is God. We see one little dot and we think that one little dot is tragic. We don't see what God has in mind for that whole circumstance, for that whole situation. And we rest in that. And you find that hope where you're resting. What is God? He promises to care. First of all, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a comfort that is. God promises to care. Consider the lily. I know my wife and I have become very aged. And I know the living proof of it. We've been bird watching. And if that isn't a sign of senility, I don't know what is. Well, we've been getting up early and we have these bird feeders. We're spending about $600 a month on bird food. And, well, it's not quite that much, but sometimes when we come back from Shopko with the car sagging on that one side, with bird food bags. We get up early and read. We go on the deck. You know, 2 days that it's really nice. And I was out there by myself early one morning. In fact, we've been taking the bird feeders in because the bear had been coming up on our deck. We had a 400-pounder. I pounded on the door to try to get him to drop, and he just looked back at me, and then he kept going after the groceries. And then I hit that door jamb again, and he was just a little ways. He was up on our deck. And so we started bringing them in. Then I forgot the other night. I heard noise that there were three coons out there, and we have all kinds of wildlife that are feeding on these things. But I started taking them in, so I put them out about 6 in the morning. But there was this little one that came, and I said, God, you care when that falls to the ground. How could I ever be anxious and think that you will not be in control of every single thing of our hearts? He promises to care. Number two, he promises to be faithful. He promises to be faithful. Look in chapter 42 and verse 3. When they ask, where is my God? And I remember these things. And he shows himself in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. He promises to be faithful in all things. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Lamentations chapter 3. And number 3, God promises to forgive and to cleanse. A good study on that would be Psalm 51. And those of you who don't sin and haven't sinned, who have been raptured, and God let them come back and promise, I'll let you go back for a while if you don't say where you've been. I said, when I get around them, there's an aura that I can't handle because I'm still yet in sin. And it makes me kind of nervous. So some of you have not sinned and you haven't considered all the categories of sin that God considers. So you can be excused from this message because I know you where you've been. I know it's a lot better. And but for those of us who still need forgiveness and cleansing, for those of us who still need forgiveness and cleansing, isn't that a tremendous hope? The debt has been paid forever. When Christ died on the cross, all sin debt was paid for us. But our fellowship can be hindered. God promises cleansing. Number 4, he promises to be our refuge in our strength. Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And how we need that in our lives. Verse 6, O God, in verse chapter 42 and verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. And there is this realization of the presence of God. 81 and verse 1 had the same thing. God is our refuge in our strength. To whom do you go for cover and protection? And then number 5, he promises to lead us. Chapter 43 and verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill. We need wisdom, we need direction. God promises these things. And probably the greatest thing that is an encouragement to us is hope. What are you going through right now? You don't need explanations from anybody. You need hope. When you go see a doctor and the doctor says, sit down in the chair, I have something to tell you. You have cancer. Do you need an explanation about that or do you need hope? If the doctor started putting a chart up here, said, now here, here's where cancer started before in the history of cancer, and then it came through this and came through that and so on. You said, wait a minute, doctor. You just told me I have cancer. Answer the question, do I have hope? And what circumstance are you in? You're not needing somebody to give you explanations. What you need is somebody to give you hope. And that hope is in the promises of God. What does God have to say about this? And when you anchor in that hope, what a difference it can make. When the outlook is grim, try the uplook. When the outlook is grim, try the uplook. Never doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. That's why you need to saturate yourself with God's word. So when you are in a dark situation, never doubt while you are in that darkness what God has promised you in the light. Because God's word is truth, and God will fulfill his promises to us. This is a preventive maintenance message for those of you who are on harvest staff. You just are getting set for the journey. The car is in shape. Tires have been checked. You've just had oil change. You're getting your oil change and grease jobs now. Things are being oiled. But there's going to come a time when you're going to be on side the road because something let loose. And I hope you can go back in your mind to these two chapters and start saying, God, let me find my hope and my refuge in you. If we can love him supremely, saturate our minds with his word, that we might see his faithfulness to us.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on dealing with discouragement. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.